1480 AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Michael Cohen's back on the witness stand for what is expected to be the last day of the prosecution's case in former President Trump's criminal hush money trial. ABC's Aaron Katursky says the judge has indicated that closing arguments will not occur until next week.
He doesn't want there to be a lot of space between closing arguments, the charge to the jury, and when deliberations begin. So it looks like he'll let the closings occur next week. And then the jury charge and finally deliberations.
No word so far from U.S. officials over the International Criminal Court seeking arrest warrants for Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and Hamas leaders for war crimes and crimes against humanity. The U.S. does not recognize the ICC. The container ship that caused the Baltimore Bridge collapse is being towed back to port. The Marine Channel expected to reopen by the end of the month. This is ABC News.
This news report is sponsored by Wisconsin Capital Management, LLC, serving their clients for 40 years. Visit wiscap.com.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin Republicans are stressing party unity after this weekend's state convention in Appleton. U.S. Senate candidate Eric Hovde.
To the old guard, welcome the new guard. They bring new energy, new ideas. We need them to refresh our party. And to the new guard, be respectful of the old guard. They have worked tirelessly for this party, not only for years, but for decades.
Delegates elected Terry Diedrich and Pam Travis to the Republican National Committee. Travis helped submit a false slate of electors for Donald Trump 3.5 years ago. Wisconsin unemployment is down to less than 3%. That's more than a full percentage point under the national average. The number of jobless people statewide went down about 1,300 since last month. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
This is news from WMDX Madison. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. The Madison Metropolitan School District will discuss the 2024-25 budget tonight. The current proposal would cut costs by $2.4 million. The district is also expected to add two tax referendums to the ballot in November, including for its long-term facilities plan, which will be presented tonight. The board will vote on the preliminary plan in a few weeks, but the final budget will be approved in November when enrollment numbers are final. There's a voice missing from the Madison airwaves today. Jim McGaugh has died. He spent the last 11 years on the morning show at WOLX, but he grew up here in the Madison area, spent his entire life here. He was on the air here for about 40 years. He had this deep connection to his listeners and a huge smile, and of course, such a great voice. We'll miss you, Jim. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. This is WMDX News.
The Pack is back in Green Bay. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers began OTAs, voluntary off-season practices. The team has a new defensive coordinator, Jeff Hafley. Matt LaFleur on what he likes about Hafley's coaching style.
Just to see how he interacts with the guys. You know, he does a great job of giving them the why behind everything we're doing. You know, being able to throw counters to what people are going to do.
NBA, the team that eliminated the Bucks, the Indiana Pacers, winning Game 7 over the Knicks, 130-109 in New York to advance in the playoffs. Knicks guard Jalen Brunson suffering a broken hand in the game. Baseball, the Brewers in Miami, after losing 9-4 to the Astros. Pat Murphy with praise for Houston catcher and former Brewer Victor Caratini.
And I'll tell you, you want an unsung hero of the weekend, it's Caratini. Caratini did a great job understanding how to get the most out of his pitchers. He made a difference. If it wasn't noticed, Caratini made a difference this weekend.
That's Pat Murphy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Scattered showers and thunderstorms are possible today, and a couple of those could be strong to severe with some locally heavy rainfall amounts of a half inch or more. Our high near 78. Tonight, more scattered thunderstorms. Tomorrow, another shot at scattered thunderstorms with some locally heavy rain through tomorrow night. Our high tomorrow, 83. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Current temp, 62. Welcome to the Lazy Wolf Lounge, Madison's East Side place for friends and family to meet for fun and food. Stop in for great daily lunch specials, soups made from scratch, and jaw-dropping burgers, wraps, and sandwiches. Plus Friday fish fry and homemade pizza cooked in a classic stone hearth pizza oven. The Lazy Wolf Lounge, 1617 North Stoughton Road in Madison. Follow them on Facebook or at LazyWolfLounge.com.
Wisconsin Capital Management in Madison is a registered investment advisory firm and has been serving their clients for the past 40 years. The firm is focused on providing investment advisory services to its affiliated mutual funds. Their approach to investment management is designed to provide competitive performance over the entire business cycle. Their clients rely on them to manage their assets through the fluctuations of market cycles, and they strive to outperform over the long term. For information, visit wiscap.com.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us as we look back on the news of the weekend and how the Willie Nelson concert was, and your phone calls. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to Mad Radio WMDX, home of the John and Gordy Show.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is my fight song. Take back my life song. Prove I'm alright song. And I don't really care if nobody else believes. Cause I've still got a lot of fight left in me.
You know, it was mentioned by the ranking member about really what we're doing here. You don't have to listen to my words. I would like to do a spirited reading of the campaign email sent out by the chairman. And it's on lovely stationery. In fact, it says, from the desk of the oversight chairman. I'm not sure you can do that, but I'm not an ethics expert. It says, friend. President Biden is exerting executive privilege in a last-ditch attempt to stop the disastrous audio recording of his interview with special counsel from being released. And it's highlighted in yellow. I want to make sure people saw that.
Yeah, that was the wonderful and talented Representative Moskowitz doing a dramatic reading.
Sure.
Of Chairman Comer's fundraising email. He went on to say this.
Just a few months ago, the White House bragged that Joe Biden had nothing to hide and would not exert executive privilege during Special Counsel Herr's investigation. They even said he had nothing to hide. That's in italics. Now, Biden and his advisors are terrified that I, James Comer, will release the recordings, forcing the media and the Democrats to answer for the dismal decline of Biden's mental state. He even had Attorney Merrick Garland write a letter saying that his interview falls within the scope of executive privilege. This could be the final blow with swing voters across the country.
And he went on to say,
You and I know. Hold on, we're not done. It gets better. You and I know he's not up for the job, but the mainstream's media refusal to report on it as only keeping him in the game. Stand with Comer, the Democrats. You sure about that? The Democrats are pulling out all the stops to stop the bleeding. That means coming after me with everything they had. If you're able, we hope you are, I'd be so grateful if you'd consider making a donation to my campaign. I sure need it to defend against the onslaught of attacks. Thank you for everything. James Comer, chairman of the House Oversight Committee. Without objection, I'd like to enter that into the record.
Without objection, so ordered.
All right, beautiful.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was fantastic. Good for him. I love him so much. And look who we've got here.
From the Start Me Up podcast.
Kimberly Johnson is here.
Hi, Kimberly.
He's a shero.
Hello.
Out of universe.
Kimberly Johnson, who is not just Bob Seska's refrigerator sex partner.
Kimberly Johnson.
We love you, Kimberly Johnson.
Here are you on the show. Kimberly.
You and your Johnson.
Kimberly.
Hello, pretty lady.
Hello.
Hello, Johnny. How are you?
I am well. So you had a blonde moment before we went on today.
I did. Wow. I always have. I was explaining that I had the blonde moment because you couldn't hear me.
Right.
And it was just as simple as me unmuting myself. and I'm like, I need Bob. He knows how to fix it. So you had to see Bob in his shorts.
Yeah, we did.
You got to see Bob.
Exactly. We got to see him in his shorts.
And he just said, oh, you have to unmute.
I've done this before. So wasn't that great with Jared Moskowitz doing that to Jim Comer?
Oh my
Comer?
God, that was awesome. That was awesome.
Comer going, yeah, let's put it in the record, how he read it. I mean,
apparently the look on his face was just pure anger, though.
Yeah.
He was angry. Yeah.
He was livid. Yeah. He was livid. Yeah. And that's understandable.
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah.
So with regard to what's going on with Justice Alito yeah. and his lovely wife, I cannot wait to meet somebody like her. Your thoughts on Alito and Thomas and everything?
Well, obviously, I think they should be gone. I think they should be impeached. I think they should recuse. I think they should resign. They are absolutely horrible people. They're traitors. And we've seen it over and over again. And now it's just in our face. He hung the flag upside down. Mm-hmm. And then he blames his wife.
Right.
Oh, my God. It's going to be hard for me not to cuss here. But, it's frightening because, you know, everybody's got their focus on Donald Trump.
Right.
And while obviously he's a threat for a variety of reasons, I don't really think he's going to be president. I mean, of course, it could happen. Mm-hmm. So we all have, you know, Bob Seska, don't get happy and all that.
Right.
But I don't think he's the real threat. I think the threat is a combination of the Supreme Court right now mm-hmm. and our news media. And then, of course, foreign adversaries that want to see American democracy die. So, you know, I think the Supreme Court is huge. And I hope Joe Biden has... I think in the past said that he's not going to expand the court.
Yeah.
And I can't remember if he said that when there was a complete majority or at least, I think it was before 2022. I can't remember when he said it, but either way, providing he wins, he doesn't have to worry about what anybody says anymore and he could just do it. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, I know he needs the help and we need a full blue Congress and all that, but it's like, do we?
Do
we need to have,
yeah, I think we do. But it's a simple majority in both houses of Congress. It's 51 in the Senate and, you know, 218 in the House.
And it needs to be done. And I mean, I don't think this is the time to say to ourselves, oh, well, if we do it, then the Republicans will do it. It's like the Republicans are going to do everything.
Yeah.
They're going to do way worse than anything we could ever do.
Absolutely.
It's not worse, but you know.
No, I mean, with Project 2025, with what they want to do, you know, so it is terrible. A New York Times columnist, not Maggie Haberman, so I don't have to make that noise. Right. Jamel Bowie read on Friday that Stop the Steal won't end with Donald Trump. It's just not going to. I mean, we've got Marco Rubio just over the weekend not saying anything that he's going to believe that the election is valid when it will be no matter what. She writes, for Trump, a man who seems to live in the eternal present, Stop the Steal never actually ended. He maintains, as he did on November 3rd, 2020, that he won the presidential election that put Joe Biden in the White House. Last month, he told an audience in Wisconsin, we won the state by a loss. He lost the state by over 20,000 votes. Lost the state, did not win the state.
Yeah. Right.
He claims he won Minnesota. He claimed that over the weekend. No, you did not.
No.
He told Time magazine that he wouldn't feel good about hiring anyone who believed that Biden was a legitimate winner of the last election. And he said he was asked if he would accept the results of 24, and he said that he would if, quote, everything's honest, unquote.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. So it's only honest if he wins.
Exactly.
Right.
It's very Carrie Lake of him. And then there's this other that she calls the useful boogeyman, the idea of illegal voting being responsible for turning elections against Trump. They still say that. I remember in 2016, one of my nephews said, a bunch of illegals voted. And that, first off, that's not human beings aren't illegal.
Right.
But
right.
my nephew said that. And I just burst out laughing at him. I said, no, that didn't happen. You know, not in 2016 and 2012, excuse me. I said, that didn't happen. Mm-hmm. Of course not, because if you are here without proper documentation, you don't want to go to prison. You don't want to be deported. So you're not going to, in general, do something like that in order to be kicked out of the country that you want to stay in. That's not going to happen. They're already the whole Mike Johnson having the hearings on that and trying to pass a law to stop people from voting that aren't here legally, that is already against the law.
How did they do that? How do they do that when they go to register to vote? They're not allowed to.
Exactly. You need proof of citizenship to register to vote. You need a birth certificate or a passport.
And so then how would you do it illegally? Yeah.
Exactly.
How do you do it?
You can't. If you have a green card and you become an American citizen, you bring your citizenship papers, and otherwise you're born here and you have to live here. Blah, blah, blah. You don't have to live here because you can vote absentee, but you were born here. You have your birth certificate and or a passport, and that will cover you. I mean, that's just how it is.
Right.
And so I remember when I registered, when I was way too old. I was 21 when I registered. I should have done it when I was 18, and that's on me, because I didn't vote for the first time until I was 22. But I remember I needed my birth. I had a passport, luckily, that was still good. So I just took my passport in, and that's how I registered to vote.
Yeah.
Because you have to be a citizen in this country, whether it's naturalized or natural born. It's just there already are laws on the books that make it illegal for somebody to vote that is a non-citizen.
Yeah.
In federal elections. Now, there are some local municipalities that allow non-citizens to vote locally, but that's local. That is not a federal election, and that's up to those municipalities and the states that allow that. But it's usually just local county and city stuff mainly.
Yeah.
And that, you know, because they live in the city and they should have some control over what's going on. And these are people that are here and not breaking other laws, mind you. But for anybody to think that illegals are put Joe Biden in, no, there are 80 million of us citizens that voted for Joe Biden, and hopefully more than that next time.
And it's always coming out that the people who are cheating are the Republicans. Actually, they're the ones who can explain how to vote illegally since they're doing it all the time.
I know they're voting for their dead wives, and that's the other thing. When absentee voting became very necessary in 2020. Well, I could vote for my wife. Would you? Do you want to serve prison time for voting for your wife? And the other thing is the same friend. He goes, well, what about, you know, people that are dead that are still on the voter rolls? I said, because you know what? When somebody dies in your family, the first thing you're thinking of is not taking them off the voter rolls.
Exactly. Yes. I know.
I mean, you know, and if you voted and then you dropped dead the next day, your vote still counts because you were alive when you voted.
Yes.
You know, so it's like, because I've lost several siblings and a father. I didn't even think to think, maybe we should go to the county registrar's office to make sure that their names are off. You're not thinking that.
No.
And you're not thinking about it a year later or 10 years later. It's like eventually the records come out and the person is taken off the voter rolls because they're not voting anyway because you know why? They're dead.
They're dead. Yeah.
What?
We have a little bit of breaking news coming out of the Trump trial.
Uh-oh.
Michael Cohen just admitted on the stand that he stole from the Trump administration. the organization, Trump Organization. He said that he usually got about $150,000 holiday bonus, and they said, "Is it true that you were shorted $100,000 on your bonus 1 year?" And he said, "Yes." And so he took that money from the Trump Organization.
So he just admitted to another crime.
Yeah, that doesn't reflect well on him.
Was this on redirect or on cross?
No, it doesn't.
This is on cross.
No.
Okay.
And so this is not good for the prosecution.
They should have known about that.
Yeah, they should.
They should have brought it up on direct.
But I feel like aside from what I think of Donald Trump and what we've all seen, I mean, I can't speak for people on the jury, obviously.
Right.
But I think that when you look at that all of the everything that he has said has been corroborated.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we all knew he worked for Donald Trump. He lied.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
This is not freaking news. We know he lied.
Right.
And so painting him as a liar doesn't mean what he's saying that has been corroborated isn't true. I would hope the jury sticks with that.
Right. But everything that he's talked about before that has come up before, this is news.
Right. This is news.
He hid this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
this
is a little bit, if I were sitting on the jury, I think it was a little bit hinky.
But then how did the, so if he stole this money, just devil's advocate here. If he stole the money XYZ years ago, obviously the organization knew and never brought him up on charges.
I don't know if the organization knew.
Well, how would they know to ask the question?
I don't know. I'm just kind of like skimming this article here, so I don't know.
I mean, how would they know to ask the question if they didn't already know that this was something that he did? Does that make sense?
Yeah, but if I were the lawyer, I would so want to point out what I just said, like, okay, yeah, we know this man's a liar, and this, you know, they wouldn't say this looks bad for us, but, you know, to just point out that all the other stuff regarding what happened with that hush payment and election interference has been corroborated, and so, I mean, you can point to this guy and say, yes, he's a liar, but when you work basically with the mob, of course they're liars.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't think this is good for us, but on the other hand, I think if these jurors are really going to do their job, if it were me, I would say, well, I'm going to go with that evidence that other people have spoken up about too.
True. And then the redirect will be either later today or tomorrow. So hopefully the prosecution can clean up this and find out more information from him before they put him back on the stand, because they're going to have to clean up some of it, not all of it. Because most of the cross has been not very good at all anyway. And they're meandering and not telling a narrative. I was listening to hashtag sisters-in-law over the weekend, and they're like, the questioning, at least on the initial days of cross, were meandering and not telling a story for the jury. Just saying, I have a question about this, and then over here, and then down there. And you have to weave a story for people to follow in a jury box. They need to understand what you're trying to prove against the prosecution, and it is already 20 minutes after the hour. We'll be right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Now that just seems intentionally confusing.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
OMG, I am so excited about our new sponsor, Cook Unity. These are ready-cooked meals. You want to know my first six? Grilled mahi-mahi with oyster mushrooms and steamed rice. Vegan rigatoni pesto. Four cheese ravioli with cherry tomatoes and spinach. Hang on. Climate-friendly chickpea and quinoa bowl. Classic salad niçoise. Lemon-baked tilapia. I don't have time to cook. These, you just pop them in the microwave, bam, you're done. Go to cookunity.com/liberal. You will not believe the quality and the quantity of different choices that you have. Whatever you need, vegan, paleo, pescatarian, gluten-free, whatever you love, they have a delicious dish. Cook Unity is the first chef-to-you service delivering locally sourced meals from award-winning chefs right to your door every week. And it's cheaper than other delivery options. So delicious and no cooking required. I love that on work nights for me. Go to cookunity.com/liberal or enter the code liberal before checkout for 50% off your first week. That's 50% off your first week by using the code liberal or going to cookunity.com/liberal.
Have you ever met a single person in your life that enjoys paying taxes? No one does. If you can't sleep at night because you have a huge problem with the IRS, I've got some free advice for you. This service is strictly limited to individuals that owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes. And if you qualify, we can guarantee that you won't be writing a big fat check to the IRS, or our services cost you nothing. The first 100 people that call today will get a free tax consultation worth $500. Stop worrying about your IRS problem. We can help you, we promise. Call the tax doctor right now. I mean right now to learn more.
800-554-0206. 800-554-0206. 800-554-0206. That's 800-554-0206.
My doctor told me my cholesterol is borderline, so I took control with Garlique Healthy Cholesterol Formula. Garlique helps maintain healthy cholesterol safely and naturally. It's odor and taste-free, and Garlique is a world leader in garlic potency. I'm taking charge of my cholesterol with Garlique Healthy Cholesterol Formula, cholesterol's natural enemy.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The term natural reference is only the garlic in the product. Use as directed.
The 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is here and ready to help. Anyone can call or text 988 or chat via 988wisconsin.org to get connected to a trained Lifeline counselor. Trained counselors are here to support anyone experiencing a suicidal, mental health, or substance use crisis. You can also contact 988 if you are concerned about someone. 988 is confidential and free to all Wisconsin residents. 988 24/7. Call, text, chat. Here to support you. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
Did you know BroadFest, the annual Memorial Day weekend event in Madison, is more than 40 years old? The Metcalf family set up a brat tent in their grocery store parking lot to sell some brats to customers. That was 1983. The brat sales support local charities. Now can you guess the total amount raised? We'll have the answer coming up. These days, along with brats, there's something for everyone, including free music. Here's Michael Alexander.
75 bands from all over the country, and roughly 150,000 of our closest and dearest friends each year.
So did you guess? 4 million brats over more than 40 years equals $2.5 million going back into the community to support more than 120 nonprofits. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
Stephanie Miller.
I needed these.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It helps.
Yeah.
It definitely helps.
This is the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is. Thank you, Christopher.
Yes, and we have Kimberly Johnson with us for the hour.
For the hour. It is 25 minutes after the hour. Mike in Michigan. Hi. Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey. Hi.
Hey,
go ahead.
Yeah, sorry about the delay. I just a couple quick things. Number one, I don't know if I can plug another show, but yesterday on MSNBC with Weekends with Alex Witt, they had Al Sharpton on, and he was talking about the polling that you keep hearing about, you know, especially African-American younger males turning toward Trump. And he did a really good job of putting it into context. And
Oh, no. Where did Oh, man.
Said that,
there we are.
Trump was going to win, but... Sorry?
Go on. Keep going.
Okay. But he reminded us that in 2023, the poll said right before the election that Trump was going to win African-American votes by 23%.
Right.
And they won by – and he only got 8%.
Right.
So then he kind of went through just the history of – he said, you know, African-Americans know who Trump is.
Right.
And that polling is – I mean, it was the New York Times Siena poll, which is kind of a – questionable horse anyway, but sorry about my dog.
Hi, puppy.
She says hi. She says hi. She loves you guys. But anyway, if you can catch that clip, anybody at home watching, it's really worth watching. It really might help kind of calm your nerves a little bit.
Okay. All right.
And then the other thing I was going to point out was that I love the Moskowitz clip. I love him just in general. But
yeah, he's fantastic.
You know, he mentioned in it that he didn't know about ethics, if this violated ethics. And the reason why it doesn't, just to clarify for him, is because Comer, no one referred to Comer as like a bad built butch body. And probably because he doesn't have probably because he's neither built or butch. But anyway, it's safe.
Well, thank you,
Mike.
That's
it. Just wanted to say hi and love you guys. And
thank
you're doing
you.
Great.
All right.
Good one. That's funny.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Oh, my. Yes. The lovely and talented Jasmine Crockett. And
yes. Oh, that was so awesome. You know what? And I think she might have initially, I don't know, she's celebrating the songs now that are being made. But I think she kind of felt like, oh, I shouldn't have allowed that to trigger me. But either way, I think, first of all, what an alliteration. I mean, was that something she thought of over and over again and had it? Or did she just come up with it on the spot?
I don't know.
She's so amazing.
She's so good.
But it's like, you know, we shouldn't fight back. When we break rules, we shouldn't become them. But when they keep punching us, and nobody says anything,
right.
Like that's normal, and you know, and then Jasmine Crockett says something, and they're saying all these things about her, and it's like, good, I'm glad because it's sticking and it's funny, and I know that Marjorie Taylor Greene is humiliated because she has an ego, and I just want to be clear that I've said before they don't have any shame.
Mm-hmm.
But they all have egos,
yeah.
So they can be embarrassed, and we can embarrass them, and it's good when they're embarrassed, and I think she's embarrassed.
Yeah, well, laughing at people is humiliating.
Yeah.
That's why Donald Trump can't handle it. That's why the correspondence dinner when the president was getting on him, that's why he just fumed. That's why Larry Trump fumed at the last correspondence dinner.
Yeah.
They don't know how to laugh at themselves.
No.
And no. You have to, or you're going to go nuts. I mean, literally. And, oh, by the way, Donald is now demanding that the White House apologize to him for the sham trial.
What?
Oh, God, he's such a jerk.
I mean, he literally, he said, there's virtually universal agreement. No, there isn't.
Nope.
Of the fact that Alvin Bragg witch hunt against me is a sham trial instigated and prosecuted from the inner halls of the White House and DOJ. No, it's a state trial.
Yeah.
A city trial. All right, it is 29 minutes after the hour. We'll be right back with more Kimberly Johnson on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You're listening to Mad Radio WMDX, home of the John and Gordy Show.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The leading Democrat in the Wisconsin Assembly says she thinks her party can take the majority this year. That would mean winning 52 seats in November.
It is a big lift for us to flip 15 seats in 1 year. No question. Do I think we're building the infrastructure to do it and have the candidates to do it? I do. I think it's entirely possible.
Representative Greta Neubauer told a WISP Politics luncheon last week lawmakers will have to be more responsive to voters under new maps no matter who wins in November. A Dodge County board member says he was never a risk to kids when he took a loaded gun with him to an elementary school in Neosho last week. Daniel Siegman was released last Thursday after spending the night in the Dodge County jail. He's charged with felony firearm possession on school grounds. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
This is news from WMDX Madison. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. You may have noticed more patrols on the Beltline. State troopers and Dane County deputies are increasing their presence on Madison's most used highway. WSDOT Secretary Craig Thompson says they're seeing more of what they call risky driving behaviors, extreme speeding, aggressive driving, and using the flex lane when it's closed. He says one morning they caught a driver on the Beltline at 120 miles per hour. Those extra patrols will continue throughout the summer. And the world has some new euchre champions crowned right here in Wisconsin. The event was held over the weekend in New Glarus. There were hundreds of competitors. Todd and Judith Wolf from Dubuque and Madison, respectively, won the doubles contest. Meanwhile, Yamuna Reddy of Chicago took home the singles prize. The weekend was a fundraiser for the New Glarus Cares Community Foundation so they can build a new inclusive playground. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. This is WMDX News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Mostly cloudy today with highs hitting the low 70s. Multiple rounds of showers and thunderstorms spark up. The first one possible this evening, packing gusty winds and the potential for some hail. Soaking rain moves in tonight and severe tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 62 degrees.
1, 2, 3.
What you doing?
4, 5, 6. Counting the first place awards from the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association.
WISS in Oshkosh for the best promo. WAUK in Waukesha, best Maggie Dawn Show web story. WMDX in Madison, best web story about the Max Sync radio show. And WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids for best show, interview, and promo.
Informed, entertained, connected.
And winning.
Your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
John Peterson and Gordy Young.
On our next program, we'll talk about Project 2025. You know, it's a little bit scary.
We're going to try to put a friendly face on it.
Yeah, we're going to workshop it. Tune in.
The John and Gordy Show, weekday mornings 6 until 8.
Take the pledge to volunteer now at unitedway.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
cash. There's a complicity and a sort of silence of normalcy that's got to end. This is a rogue institution that has gone off the rails.
She's correct.
Yep.
It is a rogue institution.
That was Jennifer Rubin.
Yes, it was Jen Rubin. She was with Ellie Mastal on MSNBC over the weekend.
Hello, Kimberly Johnson.
Hello, Kimberly Johnson.
Hello.
It is 34 minutes after the hour on the Stephanie Miller Show. I am Jody Hamilton sitting in for Ms. Miller with Chris Lavoie.
Hi.
And the lovely and talented Kimberly Johnson from the Start Me Up podcast on the Sexy Little Pop. Yeah, I can speak. On the Sexy Little Podcast Network and MSW Media. Just need to take a breath. So, yeah, we've got this weird breaking news happening with Michael Cohen. Mm-hmm. And we were talking, you know, before. To me, as a juror, if I were on that jury, I wouldn't. It wouldn't bother me. My question, like I said earlier, is how did the organization know about him stealing? Because usually you don't know about that because it's on the down low. So if they knew about him embezzling money, which is basically what he did, why didn't they press charges at the time? Because that's against the law. There was a movie called Psycho, and she embezzled money before she got murdered in the shower.
Yes. So the embezzling money had nothing to do with the plot.
Nothing to do with the plot.
Nope.
Which is why it's such a brilliant beginning to that film. But that's what she was doing. She was embezzling money.
Right.
And then she got killed, not for embezzling money, but for other things. But
For being a girl.
For being a lady.
Uh-huh.
A pretty
in the shower.
Lady, a pretty lady in the shower. So that's my question. That would be my question to Michael Cohen. If I on private, not on, on not on direct, but how did they know?
Yeah, and on CNN they were asking some pretty good questions, like, you know, why did the cross go with this on cross examination
on day three? Like, did they just find out about
why didn't they start to unravel this string on day one and then get to it?
Maybe they want to leave them with that.
I don't know. But, you know, it's kind of shocking.
I think they found out recently. I would guess they found out recently because, I would bring this up on the first day.
And
this
most
is going to set all kinds of doubt.
And that's the question is like, and obviously the statute has probably run out on this, which is why Michael Cohen didn't plead the fifth on that question.
Don't know.
Because I don't know what the statute of limitations is in New York. And he's been out of favor with that company for a very long time now. So
Yeah, we're going to learn more about it today.
Yeah. This is interesting.
Yeah, we'll
certainly on direct and certainly on direct once he's back on the stand, because they have to clean this up. You cannot let the jury walk away with that information without trying to figure out how to clean it up.
Yeah.
And he's got some explaining to do to the prosecution. He should have said, look, this happened.
Yeah.
What do you want to do?
Right.
Yeah. So this is very interesting. Now, the other day, was it Sunday, Saturday? Donald Trump stood silently for more than 30 seconds during his NRA convention speak on Saturday as the music swelled behind him.
Yeah.
The campaign spokesman told Mediaite it was clearly a strong dramatic effect, which has occurred previously because when any American reflects upon the disastrous Biden presidency, they can't help but be concerned about the direction of the country. You're an actor. You don't have dramatic pause for more than a beat or two.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Trump doesn't know how to dramatic pause.
And he looked mad. And for a man who does speak off the cuff all the time, I mean, constantly speaks off the cuff and off of prompter, for him to just stand there, it was Mitch McConnell-esque. Like, he just, like, couldn't figure out what to do.
Something is going on with that man. I mean, he can't speak. Things that come out of his mouth make no sense. It's like Sarah Palin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's got that weird Trump word salad. There are people, just nobody legitimate. This is just all, you know, speculation. But there are a few people out there in the world who just have this feeling he's not even going to make it to October. So, I mean, I'm not saying that that's going to, but as we're watching every single day, it's like the decline is worse.
Yeah.
He's getting worse.
Yeah.
And I think the pressure is really, and I think that's why they're coming to this conclusion, because every single day it's getting worse and it's visible.
Yeah.
They want to say it's Biden, but it's Trump.
Oh, absolutely. If you just compare and contrast from 2016 to now.
Yeah. Oh my God. Huge difference. Yeah.
You know, he, you're right. The stress of what's happening to him, that he's finally getting some accountability being brought up, which is the first time, except for maybe when he went to military school. Mm-hmm. Certainly the first time in his adult life.
His age, and he understands what he's done.
Right.
He may tell himself lies, mm-hmm. but you know how it is. When you want to avoid the truth of something that you've done, you know you've done it.
Right.
You can lie to yourself all day long, and you can try to ignore it, but it's there.
Right.
And so it's there with him because it's crime after crime, and he's used to it. And now on top of it, he's having to see in court the things people are saying about him,
mm-hmm.
that and like they're feeding him pictures of large crowd sizes so he doesn't lose his mind.
Right.
You know, I mean, this was going on while he was president, but I think that this is speaking a lot to his, you know, mental decline.
Yeah, no, he's definitely, something's not right. I mean, he's never been right in the head, but it's really bad now.
Yeah, and it's showing. Yeah.
And watching some of the video of him at Barron's graduation, mm-hmm. that probably took a toll on him as well because he had to be there. I think he only went to Eric's.
He had to.
Yeah, I think he only went to one of his children's graduation. It was Eric's, I think, from college. Because he
finally showed Eric some love.
Just the one time. The one time when he graduated from band camp. Yeah. That one time at band camp. It's poor Eric.
I know.
No, not poor Eric. No, he's a D word.
He is. I mean, Tiffany.
He's a total D word.
Remember the story that we heard about Tiffany when she wanted to get into like the Peace Corps or something, and Donald said, "If you do that, you are disinherited," because how dare she do something nice,
right,
for others? It's like, I mean, she's smart enough to kind of stay away from him, but she also wants the money.
Well, I mean, wouldn't you?
There's certain things I won't do for money.
No, same.
There's certain things that no, thank you. No. Hey, Greg, and Gilbert in Texas. Hi.
Gilbert, hi.
Hi, Gilbert.
How y'all doing? Thank you.
Thank you.
For taking my call. I'm a first-time caller.
Oh, we will be gentle.
I listen to your program often, and I hear some very interesting things. I'd just like to make a comment about a statement that was made earlier on your program about mandatory voting.
Mm-hmm.
I totally agree with mandatory voting because I think voting is a responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And I think our society looks at it in the wrong light. We just leave it up to the individual, but we're graduating people that don't have their knowledge to understand their responsibility anymore.
Yeah.
So I think we need to make it. I think a statement about voting should be placed in the U.S. Constitution.
Yeah.
And it could be tied to when you file your income tax, you get a receipt or something that shows that you have to go vote or whatever.
There
are ways of doing it. But I do think that it is our responsibility to vote, and I think we leave it up to the society too freely. And I think a democracy of this nation cannot survive with part participation.
Right. You are absolutely right, Gilbert. Thank you for that. One thing we have to do mandatory, and if we don't do it, we can be imprisoned or fined, jury duty.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly.
That is a mandatory thing.
I've written about this before, saying that because people are like, well, how are you going to enforce it? And I agree, you do it with your taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And if you prove that you vote,
mm-hmm.
and if you can't prove it, then you have to pay a fine, $25, $50, whatever it is. And somebody argued, what if you can't afford it? And I'm like, then you vote.
Right.
You know, go vote. So I think, and then that way, if you're not going to vote, at least that fine will help. And then you have to take whatever that fine money and put it into roads or schools or mm-hmm. something that benefits the collective.
Because here in California, it's, $1,500 fine if you don't show up for jury duty.
Wow.
It's a big fine. It's a really big fine.
Yeah.
That's kind of worth it, though. I'm just kidding.
I've been voir dire twice, once with a judge and once with attorneys, but I've never had to sit on a jury.
I did one time.
Yeah. What was that like?
Well, it was stupid. It was Los Angeles, you know, the Los Angeles court.
Yeah.
And it was basically just a family argument.
Yeah.
And so it was a stupid family argument.
You know?
And it took like a day or two.
Yeah. I sat on a jury downtown. Mm-hmm. I think probably at the same courthouse downtown Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And it was a contract dispute between a landlord and a contractor, you know, and mm-hmm. we sat down on the jury on Monday. And we delivered the verdict Friday at 5:30 because we did not want to come back on Monday.
Exactly.
No, yes. I understand that.
Yep.
Yeah, the two times I was wajired, one was for – no, they were both for criminal cases.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Downtown. I served jury duty, perhaps, per se, the one day you have to.
Right.
In Van Nuys once. And it's like, why can't I do Van Nuys all the time? I live near there.
I know.
I can walk there from my house.
You have to be 20 miles away from downtown Los Angeles in order to qualify.
Because, and I'm not. I'm only like 15 miles away.
Yeah. I know. Yeah.
It's the two trials. One was a gang trial, and that was the jury pool was like 200 people.
Yeah.
And it was two defendants, and they were going to seat 24 people.
Yeah.
And so I was at the end of the second day because I had to come back the next day because they hadn't seated a jury yet.
Yeah.
And finally, because my number was high enough.
Yeah, you got it.
We all went, whoo! Yeah. You know, and I got my $15.
Right.
I got my $15 and I said, thank you. Yeah. Bye. And then the second time after that, it was a domestic violence case. And I was juror number 26. And so I sat down in the jury box to be voir dired by the prosecutor and the defense. And the prosecution asks first, you know, name and all that stuff. And they said, do you know anybody that's ever been abused? And I said, yeah, my best friend for years. She was 16 years old. Literally, thank you, freaking. Yeah. I was up and down so fast and out of there.
Yeah.
But then you have to go back downstairs. You're not quite done yet. And wait. Mm-hmm. But I've never had to serve, but I always show up.
When you sit on a jury, you really do understand, like, there's so much ceremony behind it that you really do understand the weight of what you're doing. And I appreciate that.
Yeah.
And I think that's...
And it gives... And, like, watching this trial, it gives you a different perspective than if you've just watched, you know, courtroom shows or whatever.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I agree. It's I think that's why that one Manafort juror, who was a MAGA lady, convicted him.
Yeah.
Right.
Because as much as she didn't want to, and you don't want to have to convict people, I think most people want people to be innocent.
Yeah.
I think that's.
But you understand the weight of the impartiality that you're entrusted with.
And she took it to heart and did her job properly. Yeah. She didn't hang the jury, which she could have done.
Right.
And that's the concern with this trial is that there's you just need one.
Mm-hmm. One, yeah.
But it's hanging in the jury.
And I don't think it'll be the Michael Cohen thing. I think if anything were to hang this jury, it would just be a loyal Trump supporter who wants to mess things up.
Yeah. I agree. And he's not going to be acquitted. It's either going to be a hung jury or a guilty verdict.
Right.
There is no way he's getting acquitted. I can tell you that right now. I'm 100% sure of that because I cannot imagine all 12 of these people going, yeah, he's not guilty. Not with the weight of the evidence that we've seen, let alone what they have seen in court. Like Allison Gill was in court. She was in the overflow room the other day.
Yeah, last Monday. Yeah.
And she was like, this is kind of incredible to watch.
Yeah.
You know, seeing one exhibit in particular. Because it is a documents case.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what it is. It's a documents case.
Right.
And there is speculation potentially that the Donald's people might ask the judge to allow the jury to decide on a misdemeanor versions of these federal felony counts. But that could be risky. He could still get convicted. Granted, he wouldn't have to serve time or a lot of time if he were convicted of those 34 misdemeanors. I don't know. I mean, because those aren't the charges at this point. It's just felony, I believe. I mean, they might have piled the felonies on top of the misdemeanors. And if that's the case, then they can consider misdemeanors. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's risky to me. And Donald is still claiming he's going to be a chatty Cathy on the stand.
We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
I'll believe it when I see it.
I don't think so.
There's no way in hell that's going to happen.
No, no.
He couldn't be grilled.
Everybody else on Earth thinks it's a bad idea, except for him.
Yeah. Exactly.
I think he knows it's a bad idea
because
he cannot lie. And the judge will reprimand him like crazy.
Yeah, he knows. He knows. I think he knows. And I think that he's just saying this because then he wants to be able to be the victim afterwards.
Right.
I never got the thing. Whatever he's going to do, there's always an agenda with him.
Yeah. You are correct. You are correct, lady. Lara in Virginia. Hi. Laura.
Hi, it's Laura.
Hi, Laura.
Quickly. Hi. for Judge Alito, when he was first blaming his wife, one of his excuse was sign supposedly in the yard, and so the wife did this to counter protest because her kids were exposed to the F Trump sign while they were waiting for the school bus.
Right.
Well, it turns out Our Fairfax County and Alexandria County schools were on full remote homeschool because of the pandemic shutdown at that point because of COVID numbers at that time. They were not even back at school until February, so the kids would not be outside waiting for the school bus. So that's one of his lies, flat-out lie. And then the other thing just for the voting, you know, I'm not opposed to mandatory voting because I always vote no matter what, but and I think it should everybody should, but I think if they do that, they would have to really factor in a lot of protections so that people aren't disenfranchised because low-income people I don't think are required to pay taxes, so you couldn't totally just do it on that. And also, if they're going to make it mandatory, then they also have to make it mandatory that employers have to give workers time off to vote.
Yes,
because we should not disenfranchise low-income workers or poor people or hourly workers who can't afford or won't be allowed to take off time to vote. So either we have to have guaranteed mail-in, early voting, mail-in voting, and drop boxes, or they have to have mandatory leave to allow for voting. But I think that's all possible and doable and should be done.
I agree.
Love you guys.
Bye. Thank you, Laura. No, she's right. We do need to have a national holiday for voting.
Yes.
Let's get rid of Columbus Day and do that. Just get rid of it.
Get rid of
that. We don't need it. He was a bad man.
But there, there are other holiday. There are other election days in the year besides, you know, the big one in November.
But the big one in November is the one they keep trying to throw people off the rolls for. I mean, I like the idea.
The other ones are important too.
They are. I'm not discounting them. But you're less likely to be thrown off major voter rolls in a municipal election. And LA is really bad when we vote for mayor. We are terrible voters. I mean, it's like 12% of us elect our mayor.
Yeah.
Literally 12% of us.
There was one year recently where we had three election days in one year. I'm like, that's too much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's too much.
Well, I mean, when we keep having recall elections, which is ridiculous. My goodness. It's already 50 minutes after the hour. We will be right back on the Stephanie Miller Show with the remaining moments with the lovely and talented Kimberly Johnson.
Stephanie Miller.
You can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me
Stephanie Miller.
Have you ever wondered how some people manage to defy age and stay incredibly active into their golden years? Just ask Chuck Norris. He's 84 years old, looks amazing, still kicking, punching, feeling great. Chuck Norris' key to longevity started when he created a formula called Morning Kick. Morning Kick combines 10 supplements in one. When it comes to health, this has been a real game changer for me. I love it. Morning Kick isn't your average drink. It's a powerful new formula that helps support your joints, gives you energy, makes you think clearer. Morning Kick has probiotics to help you shed those extra pounds and prebiotics for healthy digestion, superfoods for muscles and joints, some of the most potent anti-aging supplements you can find. If you've been searching for that extra boost of energy, enhance your overall well-being, or you just want to feel younger, go to roundhouseprovisions.com. That's roundhouseprovisions.com. Use the code Stephanie or text Stephanie to 511-511. 40% off, 90-day satisfaction guarantee. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Text fees may apply. Roundhouseprovisions.com.
Do you have an old car sitting around your house? Maybe you're even paying insurance on it. Well, if you don't need that car anymore, donate it, running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. They will even come and pick it up for free and give you a receipt for a tax donation. Breast cancer screening could save the life of someone you love. And right now, they need your help. They want to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And that's what your old car helps to pay for. So get your phone out and call right now to donate your car to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. Remember, they will come pick it up for free and give you a tax donation receipt. Call right now at 800-280-9435. 800-280-9435. That's 800-280-9435. 800-280-9435.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute, and today's tip is about raising kids to be smart about money. First, start with showing more than telling. Invite your kid to sit in on your budgeting process or whatever you do when you go over your bills. Second, try to make money normal. You know, talk them through your household expenses, your financial goals, answer questions they have honestly. Now, you don't have to do this every single month, but including them 3 or 4 times a year can really help kids get that, you know, talking about money is normal, having a process about it is normal, and that budgeting is a great tool for managing money. And third, tell them about 1 or 2 of your own money mistakes and what you learned from it. You know, we're all human. We're all going to make mistakes. And learning to get back on that money horse after you fall off, man, that's probably one of the best things we can help our kids learn. This is Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Until next time, take good care.
The road construction season is underway, and you've probably noticed orange cones and barrels are back too. The world's leading manufacturer of these safety products is Lakeside Plastics. The family-owned business is based in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Do you know why the cones were originally created more than 75 years ago? As a safety marker to keep drivers away from newly painted lines on the road, as an object for drivers to weave around, to mark the tops of houses for small airplane pilots. The answer's coming up.
It's a message that we can get out. We need to have a safe work zone.
Safety is number one for Eric Witt. He's the I-41 project supervisor for the work between DePere and Appleton, where you'll be seeing a lot of those orange cones. Did you guess why the cones were originally created? To keep drivers away from wet paint lines on the road. Now, cones like those made at Lakeside Plastics in Oshkosh warn about any kinds of hazards ahead. That is one safe slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
After the hour on the Stephanie Miller Show, I'm Jody Hamilton, sitting in the last moments with Kimberly Johnson and Chris Lebois. So this is kind of distressing. There was a group of Gen Z voters trying to identify real coverage from fake AI-generated coverage, and they didn't even seem to have confidence in their ability to tell the difference. One of them saying it's just so easy to create AI and AI headlines. Morgan Radford, who presented the report, pointed out to the students, it almost feels like you aren't so worried about thinking that fake things are real, but instead when you see real things, you're not actually sure if they aren't fake, and they all agreed. And when it came to how it would affect their ability to cast an informed vote in the fall, this is where their confidence got worse. One student said, it makes it a lot harder to think about voting because you have to do a lot of extra work to find out if the things you're seeing are real. There's definitely times where I'll be thinking, why bother if I cannot tell any sort of difference between true and false. That is depressing.
So it's so hard to enter something into a search engine. This is all this additional work that they can't be bothered to do.
Well,
it's very upsetting.
I was reading an article on the plane coming back from Albuquerque yesterday, and they said that this is why in-person dating is rising among young people, because anybody can AI their profile photo. Exactly.
Oh,
and,
right.
And so the only way to combat that is through real life dating. And so
you mean that's going to bars again?
Exactly. So that's on the rise again.
I see.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's that's just depressing to me.
Well, I mean,
it is depressing.
Yeah.
I mean, like you said, it doesn't take that much time to figure out if something like Twitter is not always real, Stephanie.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And sometimes you go like she's that one Chiron with, Pecker or whatever with underneath Nicole Wallace.
Yeah.
Right. Yes. Yes.
She sent it. I was like, that's not real.
Yeah. You can tell that's not real just because of the fuzziness of the Chiron.
But regardless, I mean, people are getting better at faking things.
Yeah. I think we're, you know, I mean, right now when you look at AI pictures, you're seeing hands coming out of stomachs and, you know, when you get really close up, but they're going to perfect that.
Yeah, they are.
I think what's going to happen, what needs to happen is people have to understand that, what they're seeing on the internet is not always true.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the internet itself has caused us to have shorter attention spans than we used to.
Exactly, exactly. And that's what Abe Lincoln said on it on the internet. The
Kimberly Johnson, start me up.
Yes, start me up.
Get the podcast.
Thank you.
Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. Crude and Dom.
Tune in Monday to the greatest radio show ever. Dom and Crute, we're doing it live. Your calls, your text. Join us, Devil's Advocates.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 3 to 6. The John and Gordy Show.
When they speak up, people respond to that. They react to that, and they may not react very well to that. And they may even dispute it and may argue and debate with them. And they're making up all this stuff about, you know, being silenced and censored. They want to avoid the consequences of their ideas. Live with the consequences of your thoughts, of your ideas, and grow up.
Weekday mornings, 6 until 8 on Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. You're listening to Mad Radio.
WMDX 1580 AM Columbus. W224 EG Madison.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.